Now to Afghanistan, where the Trump administration is getting set to put thousands more U.S. troops into the 16-year-old war in that country. And as the escalation moves forward, the Pentagon now says they'll disclose less information to the public when U.S. soldiers are killed. Since the Vietnam War, the U.S. military has announced U.S. combat deaths immediately when they're known, without names, until the family is notified. Now, the Pentagon says it'll hold off reporting combat deaths at all in Afghanistan until 24 hours after notifying next of kin. Joining me now to discuss this is Sean Snow. He's a reporter for the Military Times and a Marine veteran. Sean Snow, welcome.
Hi, Todd. Thanks for having me on.
Sean, this new policy certainly raises questions about accountability in America's oldest war. Has the Pentagon said why they're doing this and why the policy applies only to Afghanistan and not other combat theaters?
Well, it hasn't been really directly clear. This appears to be specifically a choice by General Nicholson, and specifically in the Afghan theater. The Pentagon cites that one of the reasons why they want to do this is because of the low number of troops that we currently have in Afghanistan. We have about 8,400 U.S. troops serving in Resolute Support, which is a train, advise, assist mission in Afghanistan. We have about 1,500 special operators that are serving in a counterterrorism capacity for Operation Freedom Sentinel. And there's about 3,000 other NATO troops in Afghanistan. So the Pentagon is basically citing that because of the low numbers, it may become possible that when a casualty occurs or a battlefield death occurs, that information could be leaked and next of kin could find out from the media instead of being directly told by the military or Department of Defense. But this doesn't really jive well with reality, because if you look at Iraq and Syria, we have only about 5,000, maybe 6,000 troops in Iraq, and the force manning levels in Syria is only at 500. So it doesn't really seem to jive, and the policy only seems to be in Afghanistan.
Sean Snow, pulling back on the policy in Afghanistan, we've seen some other policy shifts lately. We saw the White House delegate authority for this troop escalation to the Pentagon, basically leaving it up to Secretary of Defense James Mattis. Was that delegation of authority a common thing when it comes to executing even a war that's operating at a relatively low level, or does the White House usually keep that authority for itself?
Well, the White House usually keeps that authority, and I think what the Trump administration was attempting to do here is to roll back some of what officials at the Department of Defense and Pentagon saw as over micromanaging by the Obama White House during the wars in Afghanistan and Iraq. So they delegated some of this authority to James Mattis to make these decisions. And I guess, you know, there's a debate that can be made whether or not that's a good decision. Certainly, tactical decisions made by ground commanders, it would be better for them to be able to make those decisions quickly on the ground. But when it comes to major strategic decisions such as ending wars, beginning wars, or troop numbers in country, that should probably come from the White House. However, one could certainly make the argument that the White House made its decision when it created that memo that capped the troop levels at 3,900, and that was reported by the Wall Street Journal, I believe, last week. So somebody could make that debate.
Sean, before we let you go, James Mattis, we mentioned him, told Congress in hearings recently that the United States, his words, is not winning in Afghanistan. What did he mean by that?
Well, right now the U.S. is in a stalemate in Afghanistan. Taliban currently control about 40% of the country. Only about 60% of the terrain is controlled by the Afghan government. And it seems like some of the new policies that they want to put forth in Afghanistan, the troop increases, are designed to help at least at a minimum maintain the status quo on the battlefield in hopes that there may be some kind of reconciliation between the Taliban and Afghan government. But, you know, we've tried this policy before. We did this in 2010 with the troop surge. 40,000 troops weren't able to do it then. So the question is whether or not the 3,000 to 4,000 troops that we're considering increasing will have the same effect. And, you know, that question is up in the air.
Sean Snow, reporter for the Military Times. Sean, thank you.
Thank you.